What's up, you knuckle draggers out there? This is Clint Locklear from Man Strong Podcast. We're going to have what I believe is going to be a pretty interesting show. We're going to cover two topics. One is carnivore to possibly carnivorish diet. And I'm going to explain some things with the carnivore diet that I don't know if it's true, but a little bit of research was going on with me. I just want to share this with you because I've met a bunch of guys at the conventions this year that have went carnivore, and it's just a few things to think about, just to keep up on, just to make sure that you stay the healthiest you can be. That way, you can be the man you need to be up into your 70s and 80s instead of just sitting on a couch or dying of a heart attack too quick. The second topic is purpose, or more importantly, the lack thereof, and why it's the death to a man. Before we get into tonight's show, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. If you're into trapping, you're into calling critters, you're into the other outdoor supplies, you should really check them out. They're a member of the Trapping Radio Fur Brigades. You get a 10% discount. They've been the sponsor for this from the very beginning. And it means a lot to me that they want to support what I'm doing, which basically means if you enjoy listening to this podcast, they support what you like. So the manly thing to do, guys, just to let you know, is men support people that support them. They don't take advantage of them. So give them a shot before you spend your money somewhere else. Just saying it the way that it is. Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. Carnivorish. As most of y'all know that's listened to me for any amount of time, I have been on a carnivore diet now for a little over a year, which means I don't eat vegetables, I don't eat fruit, I don't eat bread, I don't eat pasta. But the only thing besides meat, I will eat some cheese every now and then, some good hard cheese, some eggs, drink some whole milk. That's basically it. And then, sometimes me and my wife will have a glass of wine when we're eating a big juicy ribeye just because it is perfection. And other wine some other time. I still drink some scotch every now and then. I'm not a beer drinker, so that's, I'm not doing that. Not that I've got anything against beer, except for if you look at the history of beer, that was a way for the church to take some manliness away from men, and I will not be a part of that, so I will refuse to drink beer. But that's pretty much it. I looked at my diet the way that the Spartan warriors looked at their diet, and you eat your meats and you drink your sweets, which for them would have been wine and mead and eating meat. That's what they ate. And, some of the most ferocious warriors, specimen of men that the world has ever known were Spartan warriors. And that was just a phrase that they come up with, which I thought was pretty slick. Eat your meat, drink your sweets. So they're not eating dessert, they're drinking meat or they're drinking wine because that's what they had at the time. That is basically boiling down the carnivore diet. You eat like a carnivore. Think of a lion. Think of a wolf. Think of a carnivore, and you can kind of figure out what that means. You eat other living things because it's the highest nutrient dense, regardless of what the vegetarians and the vegans want to tell you. It is the highest, unquestionably, dense food that you can put in your body. With American diet today, people need nutrition. What they don't need is a bunch of empty calories, is what most people eat. There are now millions of people on the carnivore diet. Some are doing very well. Some are not, apparently, from some of the stuff that I've heard. Some are doing, 80% carnivore in this. But the thing with a carnivore diet, just like the vegans, is you always have a group that want to screw everything up and turn it into a religion. And when that happens, it is a massive turnoff. You know, because you got guys that are arguing, if you just eat beef, then you're not a real carnivore. If you do eat beef, you're a real carnivore. If you don't eat liver and the tongue and the brains, you're not a real carnivore. If you don't eat the whatever's in the intestines of the animal that you hunt, you're not a true carnivore. And it's just like you get this Puritan craziness that goes on with inside a carnivore, and it's frustrating, and to me it's sad, because the carnivore diet's pretty simple. If most people would eat a 50% carnivore diet, or a 70%, or an 80%, could you imagine the health differences of men? Because that's what we're talking about, men. Not that I don't think women are important now, but men. Could you imagine what that would mean for young men growing up? They wouldn't look like they're ready to be rolled in flour and turned into a donut, because that's all they are. You wouldn't have the military trying to figure out how to get recruits to be able to do the minimum requirement of push-ups. That's how bad it is getting in this country from men. Weakness. Physical and mental, but there's a lot of physical weakness. I've heard from several people in a couple of different articles, and I think one podcast, the regular infantry now is now not even training soldiers to throw a grenade because it weighs 4 pounds, and the new soldiers, because of the lifestyle and the weakness that they live coming up now from all the helicopter parenting and everything else that goes on, they cannot throw a 4-pound grenade far enough away so it doesn't hurt them. Now, when I went in 87, that was not an issue at all. Up until, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, they can't do push-ups, they can't do pull-ups, they can't run, they can't do sit-ups, they can't throw a grenade. And a lot of it has to do with the diet. And the reason I know this is when I started the carnivore diet, I was not lifting weights. I wasn't. I was doing a few push-ups. I was doing some stuff with some, you know, those little cheap bands you get at Walmart as I'd work around my shop. I was deadlifting just because I was trying to protect and armor up my back, because that's an issue when you start getting my age. But it wasn't something that I was really pushing on very hard. What I did notice, without needing a study from someone in a white lab coat to tell me what I was seeing, is just by changing the diet to carnivore, I added quite a bit of muscle without having to lift weights. Just by the diet. I wasn't doing anything different. Just by the diet. And as a male, I promise you, when you start putting on muscle, it feels good. You can do things that you couldn't do before, and it's a lot easier. And eventually, most males that feel this, that are gaining extra muscle by doing nothing except by eating a carnivore diet, which seems to be what the human body was designed to eat, you start lifting weights, and then you really start putting on muscle and strength, and it's really cool. It brings out the boy in you, I promise you that. You feel like you were when you were 25 years old, when you eat carnivore diet and you go lift weights. And I don't care if you're my age at 50 and you weigh 340 pounds like I did a year ago. It changes you. You sleep better. You have better sex. You think clearer. Just everything seems to function better because of the nutrient density of eating this way. Now comes the but. And it's not really a but. It's not a big but. And it may not even be a real butt. This could be, you know, something like a fake butt that someone puts on to look good in blue jeans or something. It could not even be a real butt. But I have always tried to be as open and honest about all this stuff with y'all. And as most of y'all know, about a year ago, the Heart Association and these other people came off with a study called the Sprint Study. This is kind of like the phone company. You can look it up. You can do your research on it. And they decided that they were going to really lower what the blood pressure of a person should be. Now, this reminds me a lot, and this is completely my theory, but this reminds me a lot of like the religion of the low fat and all that crap that came from Ansel Keys. It's been shoved down our throats from nutritionists from the last, well, since the 50s. And they thought cholesterol was the enemy. So they went out to make sure that a person could not get cholesterol, even though the studies were showing them that when you get low cholesterol, you get sick, you don't think, you get all these other diseases coming on top of it. And they refused to believe it because their religion of low fat was so strong they couldn't even see the evidence in front of them. Luckily, a lot of Americans today and a lot of people in the world realized the bunk that that was. But the blood pressure seems to be going on the same course. So overnight, a person of my age at 50 years old, a year ago, was perfectly healthy with blood pressure of 140 over 90. A year ago. Overnight, from a study that showed basically zero difference in mortality rate of lowering the cholesterol the way they want to do it. Keep that in mind. Almost zero mortality rate in lowering the cholesterol. Look at the studies yourself. It is not a fun read. Look at everything. Understand the terminology and you'll see what I'm saying. There's a bunch online where other doctors are going, these people are freaking nuts for doing this. And basically the purpose was, well, if we just make people think that they're going to die of a heart attack, we can get them to change their actions. Have you ever heard of the Overton window? If not, read the book by Glenn Beck. It's faction book, I think is what he calls them. It's a pretty unique story. It's actually takes you through history. And what it shows you is how through messaging, people that think they know better than everybody else nudge society in a certain way till it becomes normal. It's called the Overton window. It's also used in the military if you're going to be disrupting a government. When you look at the study, basically what it did overnight was take 30 million Americans and put them in a situation to need to be put it on drugs that the day before they were perfectly happy not to take because they were considered healthy. Not that the study showed that it was going to be a 50% reduction in heart attacks or strokes or all this other stuff they're worried about. The board decided that if they changed the terminology of what is high blood pressure, that people automatically would be so afraid that it would cause them to change their lifestyle. Now see, that is a crappy way to try to do a message. For one, it's dishonest and it's not being truthful, and you're causing a lot of stress to people overnight for no reason whatsoever. Because the theory, based off of the non-evidence of the study, says if we can get people my age to be at 120 over 80, which is hard to get a 18-year-old to be at, by the way, that's in good health, that you will have, we think it'll just be better for humanity. Well, this study came out. And then, you go to the doctor periodically, like I do, like you do. You get your blood pressure drawn, and you're good to go. You're good to go. You're good to go. Oh, you got hypertension. Your blood pressure is 138 over 85. Well, last year that was fine. Yeah, but this year it's hypertension. What do you mean by hypertension? So, when I get told that, what do? I go and I start researching hypertension. What does it mean? What does it actually do in your body? what is the mortality rate, what do the studies show, and I go through all of this. It's just the way that I'm wired, guys. I can't help it. And then the more I looked at the new numbers, I'll be honest with you, I see it as a pharmaceutical play to get 30 million new customers overnight. Or it is a very dangerous and bad way that the medical community is trying to scare people through the Overton window into changing their habit without giving a better reason besides just trying to scare the bejesus out of somebody. So the more research I did, that's when the first time I've ever really started looking at charts. I'm looking at stuff from America, from Europe, from Canada. I'm looking at stuff from South Africa. And there's this thing that happens as you age all throughout the world. As you get older, your blood pressure naturally increases. Just like at 50 years old, I do not absorb protein the way that I did at 25. And I will not absorb the same amount of protein, which is needed for bones, which is basically protein covered in calcium, and muscles, so you don't fall down and break your hip and die from a complication 6 months after that. When I'm 60, it's going to be even higher when I'm 60, and it's going to be higher when I'm 70. But all of a sudden, overnight, they want 70-year-olds, somehow, miraculously, against biology, to have the blood pressure of a healthy 18 or 19-year-old that eats a perfect diet with no stress. Gets me thinking about my blood pressure. So I start monitoring my blood pressure. I've got a log in there. Like I said, I can't help it. It's just something I'm more curious about. I've learned things. My blood pressure is the lowest when I get up, and it's the lowest before I go to bed. If I eat a big meal that does have some carbs, when me and my wife go out once a week and just eat whatever I want to, it's definitely higher after that. If I eat a bunch of protein within about 40 minutes, it will be higher than it is before that I eat. I've learned a lot about my body, how it reacts. But the curious thing about this was, okay, if I'm running 131 sometimes and I'm running up to 150 some other times, all in the same day, what is my blood pressure? Is it something I should be concerned about? And is there something I can do about it? So I found a doctor that is not just a chemical salesman, and I spent some time with him explaining my diet, explaining the way that I now exercise in the weight room, explaining my lifestyle, explaining everything that I could possibly come up with. And he came up with one thing, and I've come up with another, in addition to his. So this is where I'm now, what you would consider carnivore-ish. What he noticed right off the bat when he understood what my diet was, even though my blood work and my cholesterol and all that is spectacular, the blood pressure thing going up and down like that, he thought was odd. And a lot of it, he said, it was odd because most people have no idea what their blood pressure is two or three times during a day. So you're seeing data that most people don't have, and you're curious. He said, I can tell that you're curious more than you're scared, but you're curious. And I was like, yep. If it's something I need to worry about, I need to figure out what to do with it. So, after talking with him, there was a chemical that your body produces. See, this is what is amazing to me about the human body. And when I read studies that try to break it down like it's a car machine, I know right then that I'm dealing with a freaking idiot, and I don't care how many PhDs they got behind their name. The human body is not a machine. It is not like a car or a lawnmower. It is extremely complicated. More than that, it's extremely different from person to person hormonally, insulin resistance, chemically how stuff reacts, abuse over the years when you have different receptors that can trick hormones. It's extremely complicated. And then people do these first grade mentality studies and claim they know the truth. So it's kind of like, let me give an example of this. Okay, like let's use LA for an example. LA is in a semi-desert environment. It's a brittle environment. Now, I'm talking permaculture stuff right now, so hang with me. But permaculture, one thing about permaculture, guys, if you ever get into it, you start looking at everything's as systems. And I'm looking at my body in the same way that the permaculture looks at an agricultural system. It's a system. It's not individual the way that the ag departments in college break it down. It is a system. Not just inputs, not just outputs, not just cost, not just profit. It's systems. LA's in a brittle, semi-desert environment. It's on the West Coast and on all continents. There's less rain on the West Coast than there is on the East Coast, at least in the Northern Hemisphere. That's a constant. And because it is beautiful weather, people have flocked there forever, and they build houses, and they got a bunch of crazy environmentalists that won't let them clear any woods, and they have these massive forest fires, and they're building houses where they shouldn't because the system cannot handle it, and you see all these mudslides, and they're having water shortages every other year, it seems like. Now, when you run the numbers on California, they do not have a water shortage. They have a water system shortage. They get plenty of water for the people in LA and surrounding counties. There's no shortage of water. But you have roads. See, that's part of this system. That road, if it rains a lot, could cause accidents. So you got an engineer, just like scientists do studies, that are only focused on one aspect of the system, and that is how to divert the water off the road and get it away from there as fast as possible so we don't have accidents. So they put in these gutters, and they run it down to these big aqueducts, and they flow it out to the ocean as fast as they can. Now the water is in the system. They took the water and they forced it out of the system. And now, when they have droughts, they're going, we're in a drought and there's nothing we can do about it. Yeah, dumbass. The reason you designed your system of the roads is the reason you have a water shortage. You get plenty of it, you waste it all. Because it's complex. And then you look at the way the farmers do the water. There's plenty of water for the farms in California. But they waste it because of certain things that they do because they don't understand the system of the plants and the ground and the environment and the water and life. They only look at one thing at a time. Everything is systems. Your body is a complete system. So I'm talking to this doctor and I'm like, I'm eating the most nutritious food on the planet. I drove to Iowa to get a cow from Alan's son-in-law, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supply, to bring back because I know it is such a good, healthy cow. I'm eating fish that I wild catch out of the ocean. I'm eating deer that I hunt. I'm eating wild hogs. I'm eating beaver and bobcats. I'm eating the most nutritious stuff in the world. And then I supplement it with free range, completely natural ducks and chickens. And I'm drinking really good, unpasteurized whole milk. And he's like, most nutritious stuff you could eat, there's no doubt. He said, but let me ask you a question, Clint. Your body needs certain things to chemically work correct, And I'm like, okay, I'm listening. He goes, there is a process. You cannot take a supplement and produce nitric oxide. That is a gas that uses other chemicals through what you eat that makes your blood vessels more supple. It produces a gas inside of your veins that keeps everything very limber. And when you have enough of it, it regulates your blood pressure a lot. When you don't have it, your veins are not as soft. They don't expand in and out the same. And you could get in trouble. He said, I didn't hear a single thing that you were eating that takes an effect nitric oxide. I'm like, wow. I need to do some research on this. He gave me a recommendation, and I'll tell you what it is. I've just started using it, so I don't know. I'm not recommending it. I'm just saying what he gave. It's not cheap. It's called OxySpark. It's made out of mostly apple skins, and it's 10 times more producing in the body of nitric oxide than like Super Beets or beet powder. When I found this out, I started taking beet powder because that's what it's known for, is to boost nitric oxide. And if you're into weightlifting, you should know what that is, because a lot of the pre-workouts that people take, it's stuffed with it, with a lot of caffeine and sugar and stuff like that. It naturally opens up your blood vessels. I was like, that makes sense. I can see that. So I start studying it. Sure enough, the carnivore diet was not producing this for me. So I started taking the beetroot, and I started drinking hibiscus tea once a day, a big old mug full of it. And lo and behold, my blood pressure regulated itself down. I was like, this is awesome. But I'm still running my little experiment, so I go and I still see these spikes. One thing through all this research, and one thing I've heard a lot of carnivore athletes talk about, is potassium deficiency. And a lot of times in sports, their response is just to eat more salt. Well, that is different in a way than real potassium. You can take a potassium supplement, but you cannot take enough of it, and no one recommends that you actually take a potassium supplement, because it can be very hard on your system by what it is and how it's supposed to get in there. Where do you get potassium for the most part? You do get some from red meat. Check, I've got that covered. Other things that I've learned about potassium is raisins are really high, white potatoes are really high, the beets actually are really high. A lot of your fruits like apricots, cantaloupes, watermelon, stuff like that are really high in potassium. And the minimum recommendation for that is like 4,700 milligrams or something. When I started doing more research, I came across athletes, and the number that they're shooting for all the time is about 7,000. From the meat that I was eating, I wasn't even meeting half the requirement of potassium for the RDA, which means you need to eat this so you don't die. It's not healthy. They're not saying you're going to be healthy if you do the RDA, but it's the minimum so you don't fall over dead from something. I wasn't getting half of that. Now, I've been a long believer in what plants really are, because in permaculture, I have grown all kinds of different things. Plants to me are medicine. Plants to me are not really food. Especially because I have the bias now of the carnivore diet. Carnivorish. If I want to have the nitric oxide that's going to help my blood vessels to stay nice and soft and supple, and I want to have the potassium which doesn't do the same thing. But if you don't have potassium, go look this up. It is amazing. If you get low on potassium, you have massive blood pressure swings. You get headaches a lot. Your eyes feel like they've got pressure inside of them. See, I thought it was my Fuchs disease. It's a weird cornea thing that I've got. I thought that's what that was. No, apparently it's probably from potassium. It has a lot to do with how your organs regulate hormones. It has a lot to do with a lot of different aspects, but what caught my attention was the spikes in high blood pressure, headaches, because if you're getting high blood pressure, you're scared you're getting high blood pressure, you're going to get a headache. And then your eyes feel tight, which I thought was from the blood pressure, but it was probably from the potassium. So I'm now running an experiment, which I'll come back in about a month and I will let everybody know how that's going, where I'm using non-meat foods in the carnivore diet for what I think they really are, and that is medicine. White potatoes have twice as much potassium as a sweet potato. I can see that I need to raise my potassium. So now, and it's weird when you start doing this, because you start getting this weird, like I'm cheating or I'm doing something wrong type thing. I eat one small potato or medium potato a day. So I'm making up a big batch of mashed potatoes and I'm eating a cup. That's all I eat in a day. I'm not gorging on potatoes. I'm eating a cup of golden raisins a day now. I'm having two of those little cutie tangerine things just because they're so easy to get into and they don't have seeds. And then I'm taking this OxySpark, which has actually potassium in it. And I'm going to let that ride for a month. And I want to see what it does between the nitric oxide and the potassium, what it does on stabilizing blood pressure. See, if you look at carnivore like a religion, you would never do that. And why wouldn't you? It is not a religion, guys. It is just something that is what I think the carnivore diet really is. It's a way to teach you not to eat junk. And then when you feel what high nutrition does to your body and you eat crap food, you don't like the way it feels and you kind of self-regulate from that point on. But if you need some garlic because of the chemicals that it puts in you, and you need some to be able to produce nitric oxide, and you need potassium, treat the vegetables as what I perceive them to be, and that's medicine. So when I'm eating the potato or the raisins or the two little cutie tangerine things, I do that like I was taking a vitamin pill, because that's what I look at that for. And I'm going to see what the results are after a month or 2 months or 3 months. And I'm going to let my own body tell me if it's working or not. The doctor has been blown away by what I've decided to do, because he can't get people to lose weight. He can't get them to exercise. He can't get them to quit eating a dumpster diet. He can't get them to do anything. And I'm like running experiments. He was just absolutely floored. Now he's keeping notes. What he's going to do with them, I don't know. But he's really curious about what I'm finding out, because I'm motivated, because if the carnivore diet is hurting me because of blood pressure, then I need to figure out how to fix that. But that's the main thing, guys. You have got to figure that out. Just going into a doctor and then putting you on a drug that's going to lower your blood pressure, they can do it. But when you look at what those drugs do, you actually die faster than you would if you had the high blood pressure. The mortality rate goes down in a human being when they take the drug because of the side effects. So you don't live longer because you take it. So chew on that a little bit before you do that. Is there something else you can do? Now, there may be cases, and I'm sure there are, where people need to take those and they should take them. Or between doing a little bit of this and a little bit of that, maybe you just got to take a speck of it and then everything kind of does what it's supposed to do. No one in the medical field that I know of that you're going to go see as a primary care physician is going to take the time to help you work this stuff out. It's going to be totally up to you. So instead of me saying I'm a carnivore now, I wanted to explain all that. So when I say carnivore-ish, you'll understand what it is. I am eating some plant food, mostly fruits, one white potato a day, strictly to see what it does for my blood pressure. Because I'm not really that high. But the way I was explained, the more pressure you got on your veins, it's kind of like a garden hose, and if you keep too much pressure on it, eventually it's going to burst. I can understand that example. So if I can keep it down to normal levels, I can rock on doing what I want to do. Now, the second thing about tonight's show I want to talk about is purpose. You want to destroy a man? Because we're talking to men here. Let him go through life without purpose. I'm going to give you an example of what the Nazis learned to do to the Jewish concentration camp men and women, for that matter, that destroyed them more than beating them, starving them, watching their family die, all the other horrible things that happened to them in the concentration camps. Do you know what they figured out? Absolutely destroyed the human being and the soul faster than anything else. Make somebody do something without purpose repeatedly. So what they would do, you just imagine, you're coming in on a train, you have no idea where you're going, and you're a Jew. You show up with all of this barbed wire and all of these SS guys that are laughing at you, and you know, inside the car several people have died of starvation. You've got dead bodies everywhere. It's a terrible situation. You get off the train, and the first thing they've learned to do to screw with you, to destroy any ambition that you have, is non-purposeful work. So right on the other side of the gate, when you go through the gate, there are 50 and 100 pound bags of salt stacked up. The first thing you do when you get there is grab your bag of salt, and you have to walk to the other side of the compound and put it down. The compound was over a quarter mile away. Now, if you've never lifted 100 pounds and carried it a quarter mile, it is gut-wrenching work to do that. You got to keep in mind, you've already not had food, you're dehydrated, you're scared to death, you've been around all these other dead people, you're stressed out to the max, and you got to do basically a Herculean act of 100 pounds of sand, of salt, for a quarter mile across the compound. When you get to the other side, they're all laughing at you. You put it down. You get in your little formation. They tell you now you get to take the salt to the back to where you got it. So you pick up this salt, and you struggle, and you grind, and you breathe hard, and you're trying not to fall down, because if you do, they're going to beat the crap out of you. And you carry it all the way back across that compound. You've worked hard, and you set it down. Non-purposeful work destroyed more Jewish people than the starvation did. It was at the most mentally abusive thing that they figured out how to do. And the next day, guess what you got to do? You knew you had to pick up that big pan, that big thing of salt, and carry it all the way across the yard and all the way back to the same starting point. So you're working hard, but you're not going anywhere. Mentally, human beings are not made for this. And it absolutely destroyed people. That's a horrible example. No doubt. But I want you to think about, what do you do on a daily basis? I remember, I guess I was in high school, or might at the beginning of the military. I think it was Kirk Douglas had a show where he's out in California, and finally he just has enough of all the non-purposes. He just stops his car in traffic. He goes to a store, gets something. He does a bunch of criminal stuff. I think he ends up getting killed in it, but it was crazy off the charts movie at the time. He had a job he hated. He had a family life that was falling apart. He would go work long hours, overtime, barely get enough money, and he knew that none of it mattered, and over the years, it just drove him insane, till he just flipped out and just walked away. That's basically what the movie was. And I remember seeing that and going, oh my goodness, I never want to go to California. It's not California. The movie was shot in L.A. That's where the story was at, but it's not L.A. That could be anywhere that you're doing something that you know has no purpose. And if you want to reach your full potential of a man, you have got to have purpose, or you're going to destroy yourself. And you need to come up with what that is. See, and a lot of that is very mental. You can have a job in a cubicle, in a building, with people you really don't care about, doing something that really doesn't matter. But if you put a lot of pride in what you're doing, you can turn something that seems like there's non-purpose into purpose. That's up to you, the individual. It's not your situation. So I'm not just saying you just need to go quit a job that you don't find is not purpose. You can find purpose in a lot of different ways, but you need to have some type of purpose, and it needs to be something that you think about when you're sitting around, when you're eating dinner, when you're watching TV, when you're at work, or if it's not your work. It could be starting a business, it could be running a business that you already own, it could be being the top salesman at your business, or doing whatever your job is the very best. You can find purpose in a lot of different ways, but you got to believe it. And you got to actually have purpose to do it. It could be to raise the best children that you can. And then you can put up with probably a job that you find is not very purposeful, but it does pay the bills, which meets the requirement, allows you to raise the children the way that you want to raise them. You could find purposeness in just being the absolute best husband you could be. You could find purpose in a hobby, like fly fishing. It could be running marathons. It could be in a weight room. It could be powerlifting, strongman. It could be hunting. It could be going out and taking veterans and different disabled people or whatever, or low-income people fishing on the weekends. It could be saving all the people in Africa, the way the liberals always want to do. But there has to be something that drives you. And the interesting thing that I can tell you from my life is I've had different purposes on and off all through my life. And one of the things that I think has helped me stay sane is when one purpose seemed like it was fading, I would pick another one up and I would run with it hard. When I was playing football, it was football. When I was playing basketball, it was basketball. Now see, that seems like it's nonsensical, right? Because we're talking about life. No, you may have to, I did a lot of part-time work playing sports so I could have the money to do what I needed to do and what I wanted to do so I could play the sports. The job was just a means to an end from what I wanted to do. So it gave purpose to what I didn't want to do because I could do what I wanted to do. And then I went to the military. I wanted to be the best, absolute, steely-eyed, bad to the bone infantry soldier that I could be. I mean, I did crazy stuff. I road marched on my own on the weekends. I would go running on my own. I'd lift weights when no one else was going to because we already did PT three times that day. I had a purpose. And it's an individual thing. A lot of the guys I was around, they didn't understand that purpose. I didn't let them talk me out of my purpose because that wasn't their purpose. That was my purpose. When I got out, I got in the swimming pool business. I was dead set and focused completely on building a very profitable swimming pool business, which I did. The whole time, I was really in the back of my mind focused on I wanted to be a professional trapper. So when I pulled the trigger on that, guess what I've done for the last 25 years? Trapping. Throughout that time, I played around with some different stuff like fishing and things like that. And now I still do the trapping. I still do my lure making and all that. And for me, one of the purposes that I have now, which is very selfish on my part, which I will admit to a point, is I want to be a strong, mobile, agile, 50-plus-year-old male. It has completely helped me with my diet. It pushes me to go to the gym. It pushes me to do different things instead of being a lazy bum when I shouldn't be. It's take me down paths where I've learned about different ways of training. And I'm feeding that purpose because I want to be as strong as I can be, as late in life as I can be, so I can be the best man that I can be for my wife, because women normally outlive men. So if I don't do my job now, I won't be able to do my job later. And that is a weak-ass man that does that. And I don't want that to be me. So that is one of the purposes that I have right now. Chip, a good friend of mine in Mississippi, which a lot of y'all know, he's got into running bird dogs with horses and all kind of stuff like that. When I talk to Chip and he's talking about these quail and the bird dogs and the horses, and I'm talking to a younger person by 30 years than I am if I bring up, you know, something he's doing in the shop or he's digging a pond for somebody or something like that. It's a purposeful thing to him individually. Now, it doesn't have to be, guys, something that you're trying to save the world. It doesn't have to be something that is, you know, earth-shattering. And it doesn't have to be something that anybody else understands. It's yours. Own it. Strive for it. Suffer for it a little bit. You'll be glad that you did. And over years, if it changes, not a problem. But you got to have something. And the reason I'm saying this, I meet people all the time. They get up, they go to work, they hate it. They hate the commute coming home. They have trouble in their family life because that's not been a purpose that they really worked on. They struggle with money. They're in debt. They really don't have any hobbies to speak of. They don't have anything that gets them excited. All they want to do is come home, eat dinner, crash in front of the TV, get wasted or blitzed on alcohol or dope, and then they go to bed and they get up and they repeat this process day after day after day. And it destroys them. That same person that has what they perceive as a miserable life because they have no purpose can come up with purpose. Something as simple as, I'm going to be the strongest 45-year-old guy in my county. I'm going to go where I run a marathon, which I don't think is healthy, but if that's your thing, see, that would be your purpose. Maybe you want to run a triathlon. Maybe you want to ride a bicycle 100 miles a week. Maybe you want to get into time flies. Something needs to be there that pushes you mentally so you feel like all this other stuff in life has got a reason. And I can't tell you what that is. That is a completely personal thing. But just if you ever read Goggins' book, You Can't Hurt Me, he's got a thing called, what does he call that? It's something mirror. I don't know, like reality mirror or something. I don't think that's right. But when he was 300 pounds and he wanted to go in the Navy SEALs, he had to lose 106 pounds in 3 months to qualify. Up to this time, he pretty much slacked at everything that he's done. And he did this mirror concept. But before he could do the mirror concept, he had to be brutally honest with himself of what his shortcomings were. And basically, and it's not like, I like the way he talks in the book, because instead of saying you're overweight and I need to lose some weight, no, go, you're freaking fat. Tell yourself you're fat and you need to do something about it. You're weak. You know, I could gain a little strength. No, you're freaking weak, dude. You need to tell yourself that. I'm a crappy husband. I'm a crappy business owner. See, until you have that honest talk with yourself, how are you supposed to move forward? You're trying to sugarcoat everything. It ain't gonna work. Well, with this mirror, he put the little sticky notes up there every day, and he had to see, I'm fat, I'm weak, I'm this, I'm that. Now, I know the liberals and the feminine out there would say that's terrible. We're not talking to the feminine, we're talking to the masculine right now. That's exactly what males need. They need to be able to have an honest conversation where they don't sugarcoat and try to find an easy answer for something. And then when they see the problem, because that's probably the first time they've actually brought up the problem, they can start looking for results. And inside of those results, you will find your purpose, or a purpose, to go do something. So regardless of what your situation is, if you will be honest when you talk about yourself, If you're in business right now and you're getting killed on the internet, you need to be honest. You suck at your job as an internet business. You suck at it. You need to figure out some stuff. What does that mean? I can go take classes. That's a start. You can start reading books. Yes, you can. You can hire a consultant. You can find somebody and befriend them that's a good computer guy and make it worth their time to mentor you. You need to be honest with what it is that you do. If you suck at marketing, you need to tell yourself, I absolutely suck at this. I can't inspire anybody. Nobody cares. And I'm sitting here spinning my wheels. I suck. Okay, you suck. That's a problem. How do you fix a problem? You work the problem. How do you work this problem? You find people that are better marketing than you, and you study them, and you read books, and you listen to podcasts, and if you need to, go take some courses, whatever it is. See, that would be your purpose. I'm not going to suck at marketing anymore. I'm going to thrive at marketing. I'm going to be the best freaking marketer in my industry, period. And I'm not going to slow down until that happens. You start talking to yourself after the real talk into what the problem is and how to fix it, my God, you're going to have purpose. Watch how everything else in your life starts changing when that happens. That's how men deal with problems. That's not how boys deal with problems. They just whine, bitch, and complain because they're still too feminine. Real men work the problem. And inside of that problem, I promise you, you will find purpose. But if you don't do that, or something like that, and you feel like the Jewish prisoners carrying the bag of salt across the compound and back every day for no purpose. You know it's no purpose. It's just misery and grunting and grinding for no purpose whatsoever. Dude, you need to get your crap together and you need to figure out how to turn carrying that salt into a purpose. That's up to you. Mentally, what you do with it, that's totally up to you. It's not going to be in a book. No one's going to be able to give you that answer. You're going to have a heart-to-heart, come-to-Jesus meeting all by your own, and you're going to have to figure that crap out. That's what being a man is. You get things done. Well, we've talked way longer than I thought we would, so I'm going to go ahead and close this thing, but just keep that in mind, guys. Please have a purpose. And whatever your health level is, start doing some of your own research. Don't rely on people to just tell you what to do. That's not what a man does. And if you are into getting stronger, let me leave you with a little bit of wisdom. Curls are for boys. Biceps are for boys. Real men build back straps. Biceps are for boys. Back straps are for men. So if you're trying to get in shape, don't worry about your little curls. Worry about your back straps. You build back straps, everything else will fall into place.